Podcastle, episode 581, for July 2nd, 2019. Fathoms Deep and Fathoms Cold, by A. Merck Rustad. Rated R for adult situations and discussion of sexual assault. Welcome to Podcastle. I'm your host, Setsu Uzume. Today's story, Fathoms Deep and Fathoms Cold, was originally published by Submerged, edited by S.C. Butler and Joshua Palmatier. It was written for you by A. Merck Rustad. A. Merck Rustad is a queer, non-binary writer who lives in Minnesota and is a Nebula Awards finalist. Their stories have appeared in Lightspeed, Fireside, Apex, Uncanny, Nightmare, and several Year's Best anthologies. You can find Merck on Twitter at Merck_Rustad, or their website, amerckrustad.com. Links will go in the show notes. They have a story forthcoming in the Do Not Go Quietly and Unlocking the Magic anthologies, as well as several others, later this year. This week's narrator is Brian Murphy. Brian Murphy is a longtime co-host of the Miskatonic University podcast, which you can find at mu-podcast.com. He works at home in the tech industry and has far more time on his hands than he will admit. He would also like to ask his neighbors to stop building things with power tools in the middle of the day. That's something we can all relate to, isn't it? And now, follow the man with the faded blue eyes down to the docks and enjoy the story.
Fathoms Deep and Fathoms Cold by A. Merck Rustad. Read by Brian Murphy. Paige lights a cigarette and watches the man in the scarlet fedora come nearer. Hat like that's hard to miss. This one's his contact. His heartbeat gets quick. The docks are loud, briny, thick with bodies. Storms scrape the horizon, kick up sharp winds. He can't show desperation. It'll get him killed or left stranded. Same difference. Afternoon, the man tips his hat. Long black duster hangs about the too thin frame, but he don't look weak. Dual revolvers rest on his hips. I hear tell you're looking for passage. Tage grunts, shifts his weight for better balance. He didn't expect another wizard. The twisty, rusted aura around the man is too fucked to be purely one clan. It puts his guard up, fast. Depends where to. The man smiles, charming. Never reaches his faded blue eyes. We're headed for Aldair. Whale Falls, a good vessel, and we have room for a couple of passengers who'll work for it. He speaks with a slow drawl. You left a calling card with a barkeeper. I can work, Tay says. He don't have enough to pay even a modest fare. He ran, scarce a fortnight ago, left everything behind. He ain't got much experience, and when word gets out he's Vandrake, a wizard from one of the most feared clans, no crew will risk taking him on. The clan thinks he's dead. He keeps trying not to wish it too. You ever been on a submersible? The man asks. Not yet. The man hooks his thumbs through his belt. He might have been eye-catching once. Sharp boned face, shaved, with odd-shaped tattoos across one cheek that match his hair, black and gray. He looks Tage up and down, critical. It's cramped, not much space, and no deck. Can you handle living in metal and glass for long days? Tage ain't sure. There's nowhere to run in the sea. What'll the work be? Manual, easy enough. The man's gaze is iron hard. Do what you're told and no magic. Clear? Tasia's gut turns. Something's wrong here, not just the threat. The man should be asking more questions. Yeah. Good. Suddenly the man smiles again and proffers a hand. I'm Marcus Gray. Tage, Vandrake. Last test. If the other wizard balks, shows any sign he's here to grab Tage, he'll run. Or fight. Ends the same. He won't be taken back to the clan. Marcus Gray's expression and body language don't change. May I welcome you aboard the Whale Fall, Vandrake? Self-exile. He don't want to see the ghost memories of everything he's lost, the ones that won't let him rest. It's Cain's face, mostly. He got his brother killed, and he can't forget. It hurts too much to stay here. Tage takes a final drag on the cigarette, drops it, then crushes the butt under his boot heel. He takes Gray's hand, shakes it once. Yeah. The Whale Fall ain't even docked. Tage squints against the salt spray whitening the wharves. Waves shatter against piers, rock the ships at anchor. He's so close to the furthest pier edge, one step and he'd be in the sea. He leans hard against the barnacle-crusted post. Behind him, Marcus Gray folds his fedora down with one hand, shields his eyes with the other. Wind scratches their coats, bites with ice. Tay shivers. He's soaked through, has to shout above the storm. "Where's your boat?" Gray leans into the wind, teeth bared in delight. "She'll be here. Hold steady." Water froths, peels aside, and blackened steel rises from the ocean, well away from the dock. Tej can't see more than the front of the whale fall. He almost steps back off the wood planking. The vessel's long, arrow-shaped with a domed front made of shadow-darkened glass. Sharp fins line the top like a razored spine. Under the water, he glimpses pale light, circular windows dotting the sides. Even distanced, he feels the hum of unfamiliar power in his bones. Tej ain't sure if the ship's alive, but it's close. A skiff jumps against the waves, zips right toward them, unmanned. It bumps against the pier, holds steady. A thin cable connects it somewhere near the middle of the submersible's bulk. "Last chance to refuse," Gray shouts. Wind gusts into Tej's face and salt stings his eyes. Escape. He tastes it, metallic in the air, sees it in the dark frame and magic-wrapped glass. He swings down next to Gray in the skiff. Reeled in, the tiny boat skims through the choppy waters. Tej grips the edges until his fingers numb. There's a narrow ladder curling rib-like down the whalefall's side. Gray climbs quick, wet duster slapping his sides. Tej follows. Inside it's too warm. They enter a small chamber, smooth walls and a ceiling higher than he expected. He can stand without hunching. The smell hits him, dry air laced with sweat, metal. All round him the ship's wards brush his senses, solid and safe. He expects hostility. Pain, but the whale fall feels like a home. Unexpected. Tej wants to run. He don't deserve to feel safe again. "Put your weapons here." Gray touches a wall. A panel pops open. A small locker. Blue-green light rings the ceiling. Thin piping he don't recognize. No flames. "No one will touch your effects." Tej eyes the other wizard. Gray's magic still ain't distilled into something he can pinpoint. It itches his nape. Constant. He notices his clothes are drying fast. Gray grins. "We're surrounded by an ocean. I don't need wet crew dripping in the halls." Above them, a hatch snaps open and Gray spins the lock. Air hisses. Then the hatch is sealed. Tej puts the pistols and two knives into the locker. Don't take off the charms round his wrists. Or the boot knives. Gray only lifts an eyebrow. "If you harm anyone on this vessel without my permission, Van Drake, I'll give you to the sea." Tej narrows his eyes. Long as no one gives him reason to hurt him, he won't. He's an enforcer. He's used to threats. He nods once, shows he understands. A narrow hallway leads them to another room, this one with windows. Tej blinks. Some mirrored trick or illusion on the glass lets them see the full length of the whale fall, prowl to tail. "I can sense everything inside and out on this ship," Gray says. "But I like to give the men a good view, too." Tej gives Gray a sidelong glance. He shifts. Can't entirely dismiss the way the wizard's damp clothes cling against his body. Engines hum, propellers turn, they begin sinking. He grabs the wall, his stomach near his throat. The storm-tossed waters turn from slate to deeper blue, then black, downwards. Lights snap on against the whalefall's sides, illuminate the deeps. The turbulence eases. Tej touches the glass, it sparks with a rust-tinged magic bite, but it don't hurt him. "I've warded the whole ship," Gray says. "I won't say it was easy, or gets easier with each voyage, but it's what I live for." The madness ain't faded from his eyes. "To traverse the ocean deeps where no man can live, it's like walking among the stars of heaven. More like hell, in the dark, where there's nothing alive." "Giving your usual poetic spiel to the unwary, Mr. Gray?" Tej turns, sharp. He keeps his back straight, don't drop hand to his pistol. Realizes too late he's already locked it away. "You wound me, Captain." There's a smile in Gray's voice. "I did warn Mr. Van Drake what life aboard the ship was like." A woman in an immaculate white smoking jacket and high black boots strolls towards them, flanked by two crewmen. Big, broad, hair as white as her coat, the captain projects authority. Calm. She ain't one to trifle with. Tej nods, polite. "Captain?" Captain Norris's sharp gaze sweeps Tej head to toe. It's got none of the suggestiveness Gray's looks do. "Another wizard, Mr. Gray." Tej glances at Gray, who shrugs one shoulder. Very well. You will follow Mr. Gray's orders to earn your passage. The captain offers a hand. Might I welcome you aboard, Mr. Vendrake? Taze shakes Norris's hand, still tense. The captain turns. We dive to 15 fathoms and then continue deep across the sea. The trio leave Taze and Gray alone. This way, Gray says. Down the hall again, into another shallow room. Brass-rimmed circular windows dot the wall. These don't show the full vessel, just the sea's darkness. This is the port observation pod. It's got a fine view, if you fancy. Gray leads him through all of the whale fall. The bridge, the tiny crew bunks, the engines, the galley, one observation pod that smells of tobacco smoke. If you want to smoke, you do it here and only here, Gray says. They arrive back at the tiny cabin Tej has been given. A narrow bunk built into the wall, a chest, nothing more. It's enough. We run on engine power for a while, Gray says. He leans against the door, left open. I have a few volumes of nautical research if you like dry reading. Savatori has cards or dice. You can always ask Alton, the ship's cabin boy, if you need anything else. Tej nods. So what do you do? Gray's teeth show. I'll show you. Behind the bridge there's a ladder that leads up to a small domed chamber hidden among the sharp fins atop the ship. The air smells of dried sweat and leather. Tej squints. His nape tenses. Too easy to get jumped in the dark. Watch, Gray says. And the darkness changes. Shifts. Takes a moment before Tej realizes the walls have slid back. They're in a glass bubble. Nothing but the sea above and all around them. Tej's breath catches. The submersible is descending at a slowed incline. Lights wrapping the ship in faint luminescence. Sleek fish flit past, a silver band in the soft headlamp's glow. The edges of rock formations shimmer with crabs and clams, and he spots a school of multicolored fish dancing around long strands of kelp that float like ghosts. Gray lays a hand against the glass. This is what makes it worth it. Our cargo manifest, the jobs we take, it's mercurial, necessary. This is what reminds me that there are beautiful things in the world. He rests his forehead on his arm. It's the closest I feel to home. Tej glances sharp at Gray. He didn't expect that. The other wizard sounds lonely, adrift, like him. Where are you from? Tej asks. Originally? Aldair, but I've not called that home in a long time. A manta ray glides past them. Tej cranes his neck, watches the winged fish sail through the water graceful as an angel. His throat tightens. He wishes Kane were here. His brother would have loved everything about the submersible, would have asked all the questions Tej can't think of. You look like you need a drink, Gray says. In the galley, Alton, the cabin boy, sets two wooden mugs on the narrow table. Can't be more than 14, pale, sandy-haired, bright-eyed. Gray catches Alton's elbow and offers a wry smile. Get the cook's old brandy and grab a mug for yourself. New hands need to be properly christened. The kid grins, scuttles off. Tej don't miss the admiring glances Alton casts at Gray over his shoulder. Gray sobers soon as the kid is out of sight. I won't ask who you lost. Tej opens his mouth, the words dried in his throat. Sharp pain scrapes behind his eyes, salty. He glares and clenches his fists on his knees. Gray looks at him. Tej never did find the line between pity and sympathy. Neither will bring his brother back. May the one you love rest well until the heavens return. Gray touches his knuckles against his chest and then spreads his hand, palm up. The gesture throws Tej. That a stranger would care don't make sense. He looks away. Alton returns. Gray takes the bottle, pours them each a brandy. He passes one to the kid. To our new crewmate, Mr. Tej Vendrake, long life and health to you, and may you always stay at the ocean's goodwill. Gray tosses back his drink. Why not? Tej drains his mug. A day passes. Tej checks for any loosened bolts along the ballast tanks, wrench in his hands like a club. Still, it's work and he don't have to think. Marcus Gray comes to check on him, nods in approval at the job done. Tej feels good. Ain't lost that want for appreciation. What clan are you from? He asks. The odd sensation any time he's near Gray unsettles him. He needs to know. Originally Van Meer, a clan renowned for its fascination with and power of illusions. As if to prove it, he twists his hands and cups the lifelike image of a fire dragon, the symbol from which the Vendrake clan took its name. The palm-sized dragon hisses at Tej. Its teeth look all too sharp. Tej is impressed. Marcus tosses the dragon into the air, and it slithers into the ballast tank and vanishes. That was a long time ago. You know how invasive magic is. It's in the blood and seed, the whole body. The magic spreads through sex, wizards taking the uninfected and turning them. Ain't always consensual. Wizards need other wizard lovers to keep the magic strong, replenished. The magic can also be taken, pulled through skin and breath. It's agonizing, messy, deadly. Takes a skilled wizard to channel another's power and use it as their own without killing their partner. Tasia's handler, Bonnie Frost, is one such woman. She did it to him rarely, but he sometimes has nightmares about the pain. So happens I had a few too many partners who weren't Vermeer, including Vandrake wizards. Marcus winks. Over the years it changes a man. He rubs a thumb along the steel-plated wall. I call claim to no clan anymore. Tage's fingers twitch. He used to hunt rogues. How's he any better now? Unexpected, Marcus laughs. He streaks his black hair with one hand. Clanless doesn't mean rogue, Tage. The Vanmir clan disowned me, not the other way around. Clans don't let anyone go. Kane's dead because of that, because of him. He clenches his fists before he chokes on guilt, on tears he ain't shed. Marcus eyes him up and down again. Hell's saddle. You're a piece of work. I forget how hard they break you in. He tenses, throat tight. He ain't broken. No, he fought to keep Kane safe, except he pressed too hard, and Kane ran, joined a murderous rogue to escape. A malfunctioning portal killed Kane and the rogue, alive one moment, dead the next. Nothing Tage could do to stop it. Tage needs air, needs it bad. He turns, stumbles into the hall. He's so alone it hurts. Knife wounds and crushed bones don't bring pain like this. He wants it to stop. All around the water presses at him. The sea is forever, massive. It'll crutch him. He needs out. A hand clasps his shoulder. Breathe, mate. He jerks away, turns. Marcus lifts his arms, non-threatening, and steps back. Easy there. Easy. You're pressure sick. Happens to some on the first dive. Breathe slow. It'll pass. Tage leans back against the wall, fists clenched. Focuses on what's real. His coat. It's his pride. He's been Vandrake for 10 years, since he was 14. Heavy, supple leather presses against his shoulders and spine, grounds him. Air in his lungs is enough. The panic ebbs. Tage sucks in a shaky breath, then another. The ocean don't feel as close now. The submersible's shielded, safe. He won't drown. He nods once, not trusting his voice. Marcus offers a wry, honest smile. Good. Just rest. It gets better, one way or another. Third day into the journey, Marcus swings by his cabin after evening mess. How you doing? Tage is reading one of the books Salvatore lent him, a pulp novel about pirates. He's not impressed. Pirates ain't nearly that civilized in his experience. He sets the book down. Fine. Marcus leans on the doorframe, his shirt's unbuttoned, and he ain't wearing his hat. Looks relaxed. Glad to hear. We'll be in Aldair by midday tomorrow. We've just entered the Trench of Heaven. The what? Marcus grins. Norris dubbed it. It's a rift cut deep between bedrock. Total blackness. I think she meant it as a joke. Still, it's a direct path in still waters for a dozen leagues or so. Couple of hours, and we'll start purging the ballast tanks and rising towards the shallows. Tage nods. Been wondering, what'd you do before this? Jerks his chin at the cabin. Means the submersible. Marcus pulls off his shirt. Lean, muscular. He sports more tattoos than scars. Great black and blue whorls and intricate patterns cover his back and slip round his waist and dip lower. Faint scar ridges show under the ink. A whale skeleton sinks towards a sandy seabed on one arm. The other's covered with words Tage can't read. I've been many things for a lot of people. I've traveled the world and seen, he clears his throat, wonders and horrors is close enough to describe it. But you've known the same, huh? Tage shrugs. He's seen horrors, yeah. Maybe some wonders, too. Marcus smiles. Being aboard the Whale Fall is the most rewarding job I've had. Besides, I meet such intriguing people. He winks. Tage hides its surprise, but it's secondary to building arousal as he looks at Marcus. It feels like forever since he's been with anyone. He swallows. The loneliness is as bad as the ache. The need to be touched. Tage has always, only, wanted partners older than him. Tage can't stand the idea of younger lovers. It's too easy to hurt the ones who can't fight back. And with Marcus, he don't got to worry about hurting no one. What are you going to do with your life now? Marcus takes a step closer. In the cabin, he only needs one step to be nearly touching Tage. Tage can see the other wizards as hard as he is. What do you mean? Marcus shrugs, runs a hand through his hair. Tiny barbed tattoos trace the sides of his neck and link across his spine. You're not going back to your clan, are you? Tage tenses. You're one to talk. I know the look. They hurt you, and they'll do worse again if they get you back. He grabs Tej by the shoulders and brings his face close. You could stay on, you know. His voice turns husky. No one can find us under the sea. On this ship, you'd never be alone again. Tej don't want to know how Marcus can read him so well. Don't want to think about that offer or how tempted he is. Marcus says, ponder it, and kisses Tej hard on the mouth. Tej's heartbeat pounds in his ears. He snags Marcus's shaggy hair and pulls him closer. Marcus's tongue against his teeth makes his whole body tingle. Skin is hot against his. You consent? Marcus asks, his hands against Tej's chest. Tej is almost caught off guard being asked, but it snuffs out the lingering doubt. Fuck yes. Marcus chuckles, knees apart Tej's legs, unbuckles his belt. Tej sucks his breath in. Marcus kisses him again. Heat, pleasure curls up Tej's belly. He wants more. He drags Marcus closer. Desperate, he shifts his weight back, lets Marcus pull his jeans down, out of the way. Marcus pauses long enough to shuck free of remaining clothes. Tej appreciates the view, leans forward, cups his hand round Marcus's hip, and pulls him close. The cabin lurches, throws them both against the side wall. Tej flails, catches himself before he falls. What the hell? Marcus staggers back, cursing. The whale fall keels again. He scrambles for his trousers, pulls them on, bolts for the door. Something just slammed to starboard. Tej fumbles for his jeans. The strain in Marcus's voice has his nerves edged. God damn it. Sailors brush past him, scrambling for stations, swearing echoes. The floor tilts again. Tej grabs at the wall, his stomach lurching opposite the ship. He pushes his way into the bridge, stops cold, can't speak, can't even breathe. Outside the domed glass and steel mantle, all he sees are monsters. They float, glowing in the dark, spiraled shells rimmed in blue-green luminescence. Big, shallow eyes rest on either side of a swarm of tentacles that curl out from the shell. The tip of each tentacle has a pinkish-white glow. There's a dozen creatures, maybe, big as draft horses. One nudges into Whalefall's nose, tentacles sliding across the glass. Wards flare bright. The creature pokes the ship again and wiggles more appendages free of its shell. The others crowd nearer, tentacles still bunched inside. Nautiluses, Captain Norris says. I was not aware they migrated this high so early in the year. Tej wants them away from the glass. He keeps picturing those tentacles ramming through the window, letting in the sea. Marcus laughs, leaning on the captain's chair in relief. They're just spawn. Norris's scarred jaw tightens. They're big enough to damage my ship, Mr. Gray. But not a threat, Marcus says. A swirl of tattoos, thin teal lines shine iridescent on his skin. We've just intersected with a passing stream. Dim the four lights and they'll lose interest. They must think we're one of them. The headlamps on Whalefall fade. The great beasts still dart and twirl around the ship, bumping into it with glowing shells and tentacles. The ship rocks, holds. Marcus laughs again. They're just curious children, Captain. They aren't trying to hurt us. Their intent matters little, Norris says. Madame Duflay, ready the harpoons. The gunnery officer, a swarthy woman with thick braids hanging down her back, cranks a series of wheels, slides her hands to her bronze lever. Outside, Tej catches sight of the edge of huge, bladed harpoons swiveling towards the monsters. No, wait. Marcus's voice has steel in it now. Whalefall will hold. Let them be. The captain and the wizard stare at each other. We'll be fine, Captain, Marcus says near a whisper. Norris looks back at the Nautiluses flitting about in the deeps. Stand ready, Duflay. But hold. Marcus dips his chin, turns aside. Soon the monsters drift further away. Norris stands, glances between Tej and Marcus. Is all well, Mr. Gray? Marcus nods. Tendons taunt in his neck. The tattoos almost burn against his skin now, darker, duller. Unexpected, that's all. Dismissed from the bridge, Mr. Van Drake, Norris says. Marcus flicks a hand at him, arm trembling. I'll meet you back in your cabin? Tej hesitates. He don't need light to see something's badly wrong. Both the captain and the wizard are too tense, trying not to show worry, or pain, in Marcus's case. Tej backs out. The bridge door snicks shut. It's a thick grill. None of the inside walls block sound too well. He leans a shoulder against the metal. Hall's empty. It digs under Tej's thoughts. The slow realization that rarely are any of the crew near Norris, or Marcus, or him. Assessment? The captain asks, deceptively even-toned. They didn't rupture any skin, no engine damage. It's the shields that took the brunt of it. Marcus sounds out of breath. As I said, I reckon they were just curious as to what we are. You're shaking. sharp accusation. I want a full report, Mr. Gray, and I want it now. A pause. Tej leans closer. Breathe shallow so we won't be heard. The wards are strained, Marcus says at last, well below half capacity. Is our hull pressure compromised? Not yet, ma'am. Not yet? A scuff of boots on the floor. I haven't yet rebolstered the spells. They'll hold fast to our destination if we remain steady and don't run into any more Nautiluses. I'm not an optimist, Mr. Gray. Neither am I. So we're at minimized defenses and we have over 50 leagues to landfall, Norris sighs. How soon will you be able to reinforce and repair your wards? We were interrupted, Marcus says slowly. Sea monsters kill a mood right fast. Then you'd best be back to your acquisition before we encounter any other unexpected elements. Tej grits his teeth, his spine chilled. Begging your pardon, Marcus drawls, more bitterness than sarcasm. It's not as if I can pin him against the bunk and fuck him. Make it that simple. The captain's lucky there's a metal wall between them. Tej swallows a curse, shaking. I don't coerce my lovers, Marcus says angry. Don't spit on my honor, Captain. Norris's tone don't change. We're over 20 fathoms deep, Mr. Gray. There's a finality in those words. We have 10 leagues before we're clear of the trench, and there's no room for us to surface until we're clear. I won't risk the lives of my crew on your sense of honor. I reckon you should remember it's my honor that keeps the ship intact, Captain. Tej holds his breath, so tense his muscles hurt. There's Alton, Norris says, or the Van Drake. Those wards will be repaired within the hour. Silence leeches out heavy into the narrow hallway. Tej's heartbeat bruises his ribs. We have an understanding, Mr. Gray? Marcus don't answer right away. Then, yes, Captain. The door latch grinds. Tej lurches backwards, wedges himself into the ladder well, slides a knife from inside his boot into his palm. Anger chokes tight. He ain't being used by anyone. Not again. God damn it. He don't know if he's more mad or hurt. Worst of it is, he still wants the other wizard. It's fucked up. He knows that. Wishes he didn't care. Marcus steps from the bridge. Tej bulls from the ladder well just as Marcus passes, slams the other man into the wall. Marcus grunts. Tej has a knife under his chin too fast for the other wizard to react. Ain't happening, Tej snarls. Marcus scowls. Don't look surprised. Put that away. My wards are life-linked. You kill me, the pressure will crush Whale Fall like a tin can. He nudges Tej hard in the belly with a knife of his own. Put it down, Van Drake. Tej is tempted to ignore the threat, but he ain't gonna sentence the whole crew to death. He's got enough blood etched in his hands. Slowly, he lowers his arm. Marcus removes the knife. You want a proper explanation? Marcus's worn eyes look old, tired and hurt, for all his expression is steel. Eavesdropping leaves out salient details. Tej's jaw aches, teeth clenched. Talk fast. Marcus scoffs, shoulders past him. My cabin's soundproof. Tej is torn. He don't fear a fight. He's got weight and muscle on the other man. He's been well-trained how to use it. And if Marcus's words ring true, his magic's tied into wards and spells lining the submersible, gives Tej more of an advantage. No, he ain't afraid. He wants to hear the clanless wizard's explanation, even if it makes things worse. Stiff-backed, he follows. Marcus's cabin is in the submersible's aft. Not much bigger than Taj's bunk. But there's ink drawings on the walls, crinkled and faded, near unrecognizable with water stains, and sea charts, maps, sketches of marine life. There's room for one chair nudged tight against the bunk, draped with Marcus's duster and red fedora. Tej ducks through the door, stops on the threshold, blocks the way out. Marcus slumps on the bed. I'm hardly in a seductive mood. Relax. That's why you brought me aboard. Better rage than pain. A goddamn tool to run your fucking ship. Not entirely. Tej could beat the hell out of the other man easy. He's done it often enough. It never fixes the dull guilt or hurt when he's done, but that don't stop him either. Marcus glances up. Don't raise his guard, like he wants to get hit. It wasn't that difficult to find out who you were when you left your card at Anna's. One of Madame Frost's enforcers. Her prize, Tej Ranheim. Tej freezes at that. How much else does Marcus know? Marcus rests his elbows on his knees. The only scuttlebutt I could find was that you'd gone missing, suspected for dead. It wasn't that hard to figure out what happened after that. You wanted to get away, and I could help. I didn't hire you to warm my goddamn bed, Mandrake. You did it just to help. Oh, I had hopes for more, true. Do you blame me? Madame Frost isn't exactly shy in choosing her entourage for their looks as much as skill and size, now is she? The corner of Marcus's mouth quirks. I've made mistakes long ago. I've tried to make them up ever since. So yes, my friend. Tage punches Marcus in the jaw. The other man's head snaps back. He kicks out, catches Tage in the hip, rolls off the bunk and lands crouched, his eyes suddenly flat. Tage staggers back, widens his stance, readies himself for a brawl. Don't call me that, Tage snaps. Marcus stands, licks blood from his split lip. Don't lay hands on me like that again, unless you mean to carry through. Tage glares, wills Marcus to attack him. As sharp as bone snapping, Marcus's mood shifts again and the threat fades. The wards didn't need bolstering yet, for hell's sake. We shouldn't have dove this far. Norris is impatient. We have sensitive courier messages and some, goods that portmasters aren't keen to allow. Expensive spices, items for spellwork. She's pushing too fast. He twists his wrist, sleight of hand, and in his palm he holds the paper scrap Tage left for contact with Anna. You asked for help. I reckoned I could offer that. He snaps his finger and the paper turns to ash. Earlier? I wanted you in bed because I like you, Tage. There's no other reason. Your captain seemed pretty fucking clear what she wanted. Norris is my captain, not my owner. We'll make this simple. Will you help me? Fuck no. Then I won't touch you. You can finish your stint as a hired hand and put off at Aldair. It ain't that easy. Never is. What are you going to do? Find a way to channel energy reserves to fix the godforsaken wards so we aren't pulled into the lockers. He yanks his fingers through his hair, tilts his head up. I told Alton no. I'm not using him any more than I'm using you, and I'm not taking an apprentice. And if you've got no choice? Tage's voice is a rasp. Marcus stares at him flatly. Then Whale Fall will be lost with all hands. There's no conviction behind the words. Tage swallows. He ain't responsible for this crew. It ain't his old gang, or his family. He tries not to wish they hadn't been interrupted earlier. Tries not to wish he'd never listened in on Marcus Gray and Captain Norris. He thought, in his bunk, maybe he could have something good again. Go back to your cabin, Marcus says. Boot toes against Tage's. I'll tell you when your muscle's needed. We pump the ballast tanks. A shudder slams the length of Whale Fall. Marcus staggers, flinches as if kicked in the ribs. Hell's whiskey! Tage backs out. What's wrong? Sweat beads across Marcus's forehead. We've been spotted. By what? Only thing in this trench that's bigger than us. The Nautiluses. The adults. Tage's stomach lurches as the submersible lists again. How do you kill them? You don't kill the gods of the sea, partner. You pray to your own. If we can't outrun them, we're dead men. He sprints for the bridge. Tage curses and follows. More of the crew is gathered. Savatori, Deflay, Alton. This time, Alton's expression is glazed, content. Drugged. He leans on Savatori's arm. Tage don't get a chance to protest. Outside, lit by the ship's lamps and its own luminescence, a giant nautilus hovers in the water. Massive tentacles, half the Whale Fall's girth, slowly extend from a blue-gray shell. Tage can't even see its full bulk. Just one huge, pearlescent eye. Mr. Gray, Norris says. Marcus leans against the captain's chair. Hour's not up, ma'am. Clearly. Tage feels the tension, so thick it chokes out any panic. No one moves. Stations, men. Prepare to fire harpoons, Madame Deflay. Norris's commands are obeyed in silence. They're all dead men walking, and they know it. Savatori shoves Alton at Marcus, who catches the boy, supports him. Tage reaches for a pistol he don't have. Don't, he whispers. He ain't gonna stand idle while anyone, wizard or not, rapes a kid for magic fuel. It don't work fast enough, anyhow. Those tentacles will crush Whale Fall long before Marcus has the strength to boost shields. I need your help, Marcus says, between threat and begging. He shoves Alton to the floor. The Nautilus glows whitish-green, a hypnotizing series of lights that etch the shell and tentacles. Harpoon's ready, Captain, Deflay says. Norris lifts a hand. Marcus shakes his head. Despair masks even fear. Harpoons will do no good, and they only got two shots with Ford guns. Tage keeps telling himself if he wanted to die, he'd have shot himself when Kane was killed. He won't be used. Even if he gave in, there's no time. Tage can't set the Nautilus on fire, can't shoot it or knife it. Frustration at his lack of options bubbles under dull terror. He don't want to drown, crushed in metal and glass as the ocean pours in. But there's more than one way to use magic. Make us look like it, Tage says. Illusion the ship. The captain says, fire! just as Marcus cries, "No, wait!" And DeFlay releases the harpoons. They bounce off the Nautilus's shell and it rumbles. Tej hasn't got time. He shoves the raw, unchecked magic at Marcus. It'll either work or it'll kill them both. Marcus said his magic is different, adapted, changed and strengthened and malleable. He's had Vandrake lovers before. Tej won't be used, but he can give Marcus some of the energy he needs. Power shared. The magic burns, raw fire in his veins. It'll hurt Marcus worse, but the other wizard don't scream. A small, choked sound escapes him as he pulls the magic into him. Tej feels it being swallowed. He gasps, pain sparking white behind his eyes. Startled, he realizes he's seeing what Marcus sees. The whole ship, outside and in, it don't change, but its appearance does. Its skin ripples, shifts from metal and glass to shell and flesh. The outer lights dim, become luminescent. Eyes appear where the bridge is, and instead of whalefall, an adolescent Nautilus stares back at the giant before it. The questing tentacles pause. Tej feels his body stretched, expanded beyond proportion. Against his skin, the weight of the sea presses, cold and solid, the world's bones. It will turn him into nothingness, and he'll welcome it. Inside the shell, heartbeats flutter, his, Marcus's. The ship Nautilus meekly pulls in its tentacles, waits before the sea god, humble, harmless. May I pass? Tej can't find his body. Panic touches cold inside the shell, in him. The illusion wobbles, pulled at the edges. The giant Nautilus reaches again. Hands grab his shoulder, his chin. Does he have a body still? The sea takes no notice of tiny motes, fragile bones crushed to nothing. Hold fast, Marcus is saying, forever away. He's pulling Tej apart. Inside there is a vast expanse, never filled. The other wizard feels hollow, not real. A shell washed clean on a beach. He'll pull everything from Tej, unmake him. Stop, Tej wants to say. He has will somewhere. Knows he does. He ain't weak. Promised Cain he'd never be weak again, that he'd always protect them both. He can't lose himself. He won't. Tej grasps at the things he knows are real. His coat, the scars, the memory of Cain and Bonnie and the clan and food that ain't stolen and soot in the air and cities and ghosts and pain and another's warm, solid body against his. Not alone. His vision blurs, shows him the ship and the not Nautilus and Marcus's face right in front of him. He clamps down on the magic, on himself, realizes Marcus is holding him up by coat front and chin. And he's himself. He ain't a ship or part of the sea. He ain't a helpless kid no more. He won't be broken, no matter how it feels inside. He takes a breath, jerks away from Marcus. The man lets him go. Tej lands on hands and knees. The glass is blurry, or maybe it's his eyes. Outside, the giant Nautilus drifts by, an endless expanse of shell and light. Tej feels the illusion burning his skin, his senses. Marcus holds it steady, body rigid and eyes blank. Tej can't hear nothing but his weak heartbeat, unsteady, then stronger. He pushes himself to his knees, sways, blinks until his eyes clear, his bones ache. Feels like he burned the marrow from them all. How long until we clear the trench, Mr. Salvatore? Norris's voice comes at a distance. 1 league, ma'am. Damage report, Mr. Gray? We're fine, Captain. Marcus sounds like he's swallowed razors. We're in the clear. Tej coughs. His chest aches, muscles strained, lungs aflame. Pain reminds him he's alive, whole, still himself. Shaky laughter, relieved swearing, the crew calms. Except Norris. The captain stands, looks down at Tej. Tej tries to brace himself. He'll still fight, somehow. Ain't gonna be put down easily. He survived because he don't give in. Marcus kneels, clasps a hand on his shoulder, steadies him. We're in the clear now. Tej don't blink or look away, realizes he's already got a knife in hand. Norris nods once. Mr. Vandrake? Captain, Tej says, hoarse. Marcus helps him to his feet, offers him an arm. Tej limps on his own until he's in the narrow hallway. Wobbly, he leans against Marcus until his breath steadies. Thank you, Marcus says. Tej ain't used to being thanked. He straightens a little, thinks the scraping ache from so much lost magic don't hurt him as much anymore. Didn't know it'd work. Marcus chuckles. I've had worse done to me. I like how you think, though. Tej looks away. Too much is churning in his head. He stumbles, feet heavy. Marcus keeps Tej from falling. Get some rest, Marcus says. Tej stares at his bunk. His vision blurs at the edges. You'll be safe, Marcus adds, backing away. You have my word on that. Tej shuts his eyes before he admits that means more than Marcus could ever realize. Safe. He believes it too, just this once. It lets him sleep. He's still thinking on Marcus's words. What will you do now? When Whalefall reaches Aldair. A new country, a new city. He'll be alone again. This time with no backing from the clan, no support, nowhere to run. You could stay, Marcus said, the words running over and over through Tej's head. He can't ignore them. Stay. Maybe not for long, but it hurt less not to be alone. He can't forget Kane, forgive himself for failing. It can't be so wrong to want to find a little peace, though, somewhere. Or maybe it is. He's wanted worse. The rest of the crew has disembarked. Marcus says he's staying behind to prep Whalefall and keep her ready while the crew takes a day's leave and Nora sees to business. Tej stands on the low, flat deck of the submersible, staring at the rise of forest and mountains distant. He notices Marcus beside him. The other man offers him a cigarette. Tej accepts. The wind tugs his hair, slides under his coat. One step down into the skiff and he won't set foot on the submersible again. You still looking for a crew hand? Tej asks at last. Marcus grins. I like men with previous sailing experience. A bit of strain eases inside Tej. They finish their smokes and climb below. Marcus leans against the wall, his hat tipped back. Not going ashore? Tej shrugs. He looks Marcus in the eyes. He knows what he wants. Earlier, we got interrupted. He kisses Marcus hard. Heat and magic sense tingles Tej's mouth, spreads through his belly and legs. Marcus tangles his fingers in Tej's hair, hooks an arm around Tej's waist. Tej is pleased. Gentleness scares him, makes him think he'll break the one he's with. You all right with this? Tej asks. Fuck yes, Marcus says and kisses him again. Impatient with clothes, Marcus drags him towards his cabin, pulls Tej down on the bunk. Tej unbuckles Marcus's belt. He ain't alone tonight.
Welcome back. This is an earlier episode in the life of a familiar character, and if you'd like to spend more time with Tej, check out Podcastle episode 481, What the Fires Burn. For my part, it's not difficult to draw a parallel between submarines and spaceships, contained little worlds where you have to bring your survival with you, and part of that survival is how you cope with what you'd rather have left behind. Maybe the difference is the pressure. Under all that water, you make a bubble around your problems to keep them from crushing you. And in the vastness of space, you have to cling, hold tight, or everything spins off into eternity. Perhaps the line between fantasy and science fiction is only as meaningful as the metaphors. And that was our show for this week. On behalf of everyone at Podcastle, our audio engineer Peter Baravesh, our forum moderator Aussie Cat, your co-editors Jen Albert and Sheree Clark, along with all of our fantastic first readers, Crystal Claxon, Matt Dovey, Aidan Doyle, Ebony Dunbar, Emalia Harrington, Kai Hudson, Ekpeki Ogunechowe, Devin Martin, Catherine McMahon, Ace Ratcliffe, Julian Jarbo, Craig Jackson, Julia Pat, Hamilton Perez, and Eleanor Wood. Thanks for letting us share another story with you. Podcastle is part of Escape Artists Incorporated and is distributed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. Feel free to share it, but don't sell it or change it. Our theme music is by Shiva in Exile. If you like what you heard of our episodes, head over to patreon.com/EAPodcasts and subscribe. We'll be back next week with another tale. See you then.